What do you do if you're Caoimhín Kelleher? What's your sense from Caoimhín Kelleher's reaction to You'll Never Walk Alone?
Just having a great time.
The body language experts.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
It is the Racing Pod on Off the Ball, and on today's show we have Tom Malone with me. John Duggan is having a great time altogether in Punchestown. He's having basically the time of his life. I think he's back racing today. He was certainly there earlier on in the week. It's been difficult for punters. It wasn't difficult for punters if you backed Charles Darwin, which was Tom Bugsy Malone's selection for the charity in last week's show. We're going to hear from Sam Norris from William Hill in the second half of the show. That part of the show is for members. And in the second half of the show, actually, as well, we're going to relay tales and the tales, trials and tribulations of Milo Malone, Tom's son's first ride at the racetrack. It was a magic day at Navan on Saturday. And you're actually pointing out to me, just coming in, the quality of the horse on show. Like, we have this thing in Ireland where people don't really go to flat meetings in particular. They actually don't really go to flat meetings, full stop, apart from Laytown. And we have, Ireland is renowned for its love of the horse, but to an extent, it does have a love of the horse. But also, it's not, Irish people aren't necessarily bothered enough to go racing, particularly for flat horses. And Laytown is the only flat meeting off the top of my head that really gets a crowd to see flat races. That might sound daft.
No, but maybe Galway as well. But Galway's that's kind of different.
Again, Galway's a day out.
It's not the same.
It's the crack. And people generally go racing in Ireland for the crack. The hardcore racing fans are happy enough to watch at home, and that's fine. That's the way, and I'm like that myself. But if you did go to Navan on Saturday, you saw a striking performance by your selection, who's very well bred, and you saw a lot more.
Yeah, I obviously we went because Milo was having a spin, so that was great. But like the actual
and
card
itself,
and you saw
itself, Milo, sorry, yeah.
You know, but the actual card itself. So he started off in that novice race, where you saw Charles Darwin win. He's probably favoured for the Coventry. That was followed up by Whistle Jacket winning the Committed Stakes. He's probably favoured for the Commonwealth Cup. And then he went and saw Kyprios in his warm-up ahead of the Ascot Gold Cup, which he will be favoured. So you've gone to a run at a lot of people would say, oh, it's only a little flat meet on a Saturday in Navan. And you've seen three Royal Ascot favourites. Like, where would you get it? It was absolutely brilliant. And it was a lovely day. And to be fair, they did get a nice crowd. And when Kyprios came back in, the crowd absolutely gathered around the parade ring and showed the appreciation for him. You know what I mean? Workmanlike first time out performance. I think we mentioned it to Sam last week as well. You know, how much longer are you going to be able to lay these Aidan O'Brien horses? And they're probably just coming to that tipping point now where those bookies is going to have to back off a little bit. You know, we had that first month and a half or whatever where you can kind of go, oh, I'll take Aidan's on because they're big and burly and they're not really fit. But, you know, whatever work they do over Punchestown week tends to just bring them on that extra little bit. And I would say we'll start to see the real kind of Ballydoyle Brigade warm up in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, and we'll see the real Tom Malone in the second half of the show talking about his son Milo, and that was absolutely magic to watch that sprint handicap early on the card on Saturday. So stay tuned for that. I have to say, though, and I'm not alone in this, I'm way more excited, and I mean way more excited by the Guineas, either of them, and the flat this weekend than Anthony at Punchestown. Maybe that's just me, and I think Punchestown, we've seen again a lot of horses just not at their best at the end of the season, which is absolutely fine, you get that, but bloody hell, these Guineas are good. Like, the two of them, not that many Irish runners actually over at Newmarket full stop, but we have two races to savour.
Yeah, I think they're absolutely brilliant. And we have, you know, all the proper trials winners. Mm. You know, the Craven winner, Field of Gold, he's top of the market. He put in a brilliant performance. I think I saw a stat, like any horse that's won a Craven by a similar distance has gone on to win. Now, it's obviously a small sample size. You have the Dewhurst winner, you got the National Stakes winner. You know, it's a brilliant race. Jessica Harrington's Green Impact, he's fascinating. And look at the form of his maiden and his win at the Irish Champions weekend, Irish Champions Festival. It's an exceptional race. And looking back through it, you know, we had Notable Speech last year, and you're like, oh God, how would you have picked that? You couldn't have. But then I was looking back through it, and it's like, Knight of Thunder was 40-1 when he won.
Did Kieran Fallon ride him?
Yeah, beat Kingman and Camelot.
And Kingman is the sire of the favourite tomorrow.
You know, and it's just like these, and you think even at the time, when you look at the race, you're like, oh, is it that good? Invariably they're brilliant. I think it was, wasn't it Frankel's Guineas as well, right down to 17th were all patterned winners. It's just So yeah, I'm with you. I think great excitement, interesting, and I think good for the game as well that Aidan only has one runner in both. I couldn't really have expanded on my mind for the 2000, but Lake Victoria, it's great to have her out. You know, she danced every dance at the back end of last season. She's still back out to come with the Guineas as well. And obviously, you know, Desert Flower too. She looked absolutely exceptional last year by winning the Filly's Mile. So yeah, two brilliant races. Great way to start the flat season.
With respect to Punchdown as well, I'd a great time there during the week, but we have a cracking 4-year-old hurdle. Like, you couldn't ask for a better 4-year-old hurdle tomorrow, which is a feature which we will get to. But, you know, this half the show we'll focus primarily on the two guineas, and then we'll talk a bit about Punchdown. So the Newmarket 2000 guineas tomorrow. Benevento expanded, Bugsy just mentioned there, can't have him. Field of Gold available at 2-1 here, 15-8 with William Hill, the sponsor. Green Impact, Ruling Court, Scarthy Champ. It was a very, very good Son of Maymass last year and did us a favour or two at the Champions Weekend. Seagulls 11, Shadow of Light, Tongue Tie for the first time, Son of Luke de Vega, Tornado Alert, Wimbledon Hawkeye, who was second, the Craven, and Yam will be there. So 11 runners, and in terms of each way betting on the race, William Hill a fifth to third, so it's the old conventional each way terms. Tell me if I'm wrong here, I just don't really see how I oppose this favourite. He was so fresh in the Craven when he beat Wimbledon Hawkeye. Wimbledon Hawkeye was 7-2 by virtue of his own form as a 2-year-old, which tied in with the favourite for the Derby. You know, Kingman isn't everyone's cup of tea as a stallion because a lot of his horses are quite not straightforward. He was very, very keen. Kieran Schumark sort of said there were 9 runners in the race. He said if there were 20 runners, it didn't matter. He had that much horse under him.
Yeah.
He still won by 3.5 lengths. It was his first run since he was fourth in soft ground at Longchamp. The ground will be perfect tomorrow. And you imagine the freshness has kind of gone out of him. I just don't see any real negatives. Maybe you see a negative in the price. Maybe you'll say, well, he's Shadow of Light's rated higher than him. You'll say Expanded could be anything rated the same as him. Tell me the negative. Yeah, the
negative for me, he's short enough.
His daddy was beaten in the race.
His dad was beaten in the race. I'm just reminded of Kingman, actually. I'm getting a shameless plug for the Irish Field here, but there's a Ger Lyons interview in the Irish Field this weekend. So anytime it's a Ger Lyons interview, it's worth buying whatever paper he's in. But he did mention something about the sales, and it's like, as long as we are I'm misquoting him here, but I'll give the idea of what he said. As long as we are creating horses for the sales ring and not the race course, and paying for horses in the sales ring and not the race course, where, I won't repeat his language, we're in a bad place. And he was talking about, you know, prices paid for breeze up horses versus prices paid for maiden winners. And you're saying, well, how is that? And a lot of Kingman stock...
Not like point-to-point racing the jump side.
Absolutely.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, but it's the same. Yeah. Like, a horse that wins a maiden hurdle will not fetch the same amount of money 100%. As a horse that's won a 4-year-old point-to-point, even though, you know... Anyway, we won't go down that route. But a lot of Kingmans, I would say, are falling into that sales horse category rather than racehorse category. And that's probably the stick to beat him with, really. Yeah, and he probably needs a really, really good 3-year-old. Maybe this fella is it. Maybe he didn't hit the line super hard, and he might be vulnerable to one or two in here.
He couldn't have hit the line super hard.
I know, because he went, and
maybe there was a pace collapse. Yeah, you're being very, very harsh.
You know, when you're trying to, I'm trying to find a hole at the prices. You know, something like Green Impact, we know he will stay. We have the likes of, you know, Shadow of Light. He's by Lope de Vega. He's a dual Group 1 winner as a 2-year-old. Yes, he's coming in here with out of prep room, but that's kind of the way it's gone now. Like, this race, you know, like I said, it's great to have the Craven winner in here, but that's kind of, you know, we haven't had a brilliant Craven winner for a few years now. So yeah, I can see why he's favourite. I mean, I'm having a couple of bets. Like, if you're, I'd nearly prefer to have a couple of small bets each way. Score the Champ, Shadow of Light, and even Seagull's 11 has enough kind of 2-year-old form there to bring him into proceedings. Talk about stallions like Hugo Palmer, trained Galileo Gold as well. His dad, nice for him, and obviously the Michael Owen and Manor House connection there. But yeah, they'd be just a couple that jumped off the page at me. like I said, the one I just can't have in my mind is Expanded.
Okay,
not saying he can't
why
win.
Why not?
But
one of three wooden bats in the race, and the other stars in the race: Kingman, real mixer. Kingman, Justify, Maymas, Galileo Go, Loop de Vega, Two Darn Heart, Cameco, and Muhatter. So
yeah,
three of the wooden bats, which is a sign of, you know, where he's at now with all of the investment in him. Why can't you have Expanded?
I just can't have it. Just first of all, horses that are beaten in the Dewhurst have an atrocious record in the 2000 Guineas. I think 2003 was the last time we had a winning. A horse that had been beaten in a G horse and went on to win. Also, I think this is probably an above average renewal. And
he was 12 to 1 in the Dewhurst, which was a mad price for Aidan O'Brien's main runner, his only runner, Shadow of Light and Ancient Truths. He was part of the meat and the sandwich. He was 12 to 1. What does that imply? Now, he was obviously had a lot to find on his maiden form.
Yeah, of course. Look, but
his maiden was 7 days earlier.
Yeah, and like with Ballydoyle. They don't hide horses they think are top quality. If Aidan O'Brien thought Expanded was his number one 2000 Guineas horse 4 weeks ago, we would know that. Do you not agree? Like, we have had two, I know 20.
But he is
kind
his
of
number one.
He is, I know he is. But like, I'm just saying, it's very rare they don't put the flags up and you know, sound the bugles, and they haven't for this fella. And that
I know
one
exactly
the,
what you mean.
You know, we don't have a City of Troy. Also, the Aidan's last two favourites in this race have run terribly, and it would seem that
isn't it his longest stretch without winning the race? On these gone.
Yeah, but I feel like but what damage has it done to him? Absolutely zero. You know what I mean? Like,
his last winner was Magna Grecia. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would say that it. To my eye, this race does not suit Ballydoyle just the way it lands in the calendar anymore. You know, if you look at the horses physically, they're much more likely to be primed in time for the French Guineas, the Irish Guineas, and Royal Ascot, and they're just on an upward curve at that time of the year. And I just feel this falls too early, unless they're truly exceptional. And even horses that were truly exceptional, like, you know, City of Troy, who did turn out to be excellent, was. He ran no race in this last year. So, you know, just for that reason, I couldn't, like I said, at 7-1 I couldn't have him. He could turn out to be absolutely anything.
All right.
But I would say he is not in the top three Wooten Bassets in Ballydoyle, I would say.
Okay, to paraphrase Mo and the Simpsons, if you're so sure what it ain't, how about telling us what it am? So what if you're not with Expanded, let's reiterate your selections. I am absolutely all over Field of Gold here. There was just something about that performance in the Craven for me that suggested he's top class. But
yeah, no, that's fair. I'm putting up Scorthy. I'm putting up the two year old Group One winners, Shadow of Light and Scorthy Champ. They're both around 7-8 to 1. I think between the pair of those, you shouldn't be too far wrong.
Okay, let's move on to Sunday. The 1,000 Guineas, 335, Shanty Lace, Desert Flower, likely to be off odds on another night of Thunderbred that Bugsy mentioned previously. Duty First, Elwatine, Flight, Hey Boo, Lake Victoria, who's like an unbeaten daughter of Frankel. I don't know what it is about this horse. She just doesn't... She was sent off 5-2 on debut when she beat Red Letter, who reopposes. She was... she was well back subsequently at Newmarket. 11-2 at the current, a 5-horse race, 6-4 at Newmarket when she looked a certainty, maybe dropping back in 6-6. She was odds on. I was very surprised they went to the Breeders' Cup with her, but they did. So anyway, she's unbeaten 5-5 out of Quite Reflection, incredible pedigree. Red Letter, as I said, was just behind her in that brilliant maiden on the 28th of June. Remat and Simmering. Okay, do you back Lake Victoria each way at around about 3-1, maybe 7-2? Or are you all in on Desert Flower here, who has obviously looked very, very good the last twice beat in January?
I absolutely love Desert Flower. I absolutely love Lake Victoria. What's not to like about her? She's gone, she's travelled, she can drop back to 6, she's won at 7, she's gone to America. And she's just a powerful filly as well. I'd say they'll have her ready to go as well. You know, it's different with the colts. You need, you know, you need something to go throughout the year. If, you know, it's far more beneficial for Coolmore to have 9 different Group 1 winning fillies than one filly who wins 9 Group 1s. Mm. That's just the business model. You know, and they're always happy to just run these fillies. I think Lake Victoria, look at that pedigree. It's just outstanding. And it's a, you know, it's a vindication of what Coolmore have done in how they, you know, and how they attack the sales ring now. They're not nearly as aggressive in the yearling sales in the last 2 years as they have been in previous years, but they are very aggressive at the mare sales where they buy the, you know, the likes of Quiet Reflection and all these sort of fillies. And you probably saw it reflected this week as well in the National Hunt Sphere where they bought Aurora Vega. They're probably going to do something similar there. So it's a vindication of that tactic to buy these top class fillies and send them to their own stallions, or they send them to send this one to Frankel, as happens regularly as well. But yeah, I absolutely I love Lake Victoria. I would not be massively surprised if Red Letter doesn't run. That ground is going to be quick. She is a big, big rangy filly, and it is well documented. Turline said, look, she would prefer a little bit of just a little bit of cut in the ground and a quick surface over the ridges of Newmarket. I do not think would be ideal for her first time out this season.
Ground is good at the moment. She's run entirely on good ground. I really do hope she runs in the race because she's an icy tray angle into it. She has not a million miles. Like, she was a little bit further behind Lake Victoria last year. Might be a bit better than that. They love her, obviously, in Jers.
Yeah, she worked after racing in the Curra a couple of weeks ago. She looked absolutely fantastic. You know, she's clearly grown as a 3-year-old. She's a big rangy filly anyway. She wasn't carrying a pick of weight. You know, just did a nice bit of work at the Curra after racing. You know, I'd imagine left her spot on for this. Jura said even last year said we're counting down from Newmarket. So it's been a long-term plan. Look, Jura doesn't like travelling as a general rule, but for a man who owns a plane. But yeah, he's like I said, if the filly is right, she'll absolutely take her chance. But I just wouldn't be surprised if that ground gets super quick. There's only been 1.5 mils of rain at Newmarket since the Craven, you know, and it's one of the driest areas. So they have they have had to water, and they have been consistently watering. But like, that is unnatural, like as in it doesn't affect the ground as well or as evenly. So and it dries out quicker, obviously. So yeah, I don't know. I would love to see Red Letter run and run well. But look, I think those two, it's brilliant. Like the two at the top of the market. I mean, like, we're kind of underplaying how good Desert Flower was last year as well. Like, they're two absolutely exceptional 2-year-old fillies last year.
As Bugsy says, Red Letter has that 6-furlong mile. She's basically answered every single question. She looked more mature as the season developed. And if you want to put her and Feel of Gold into a little each way double for me, that should at worst give you a money back more or less at the prices. Lake Victoria and Field of Gold. Yeah. As that'll be my each way double. But we're gonna wrap this half the show shortly. Gotta mention the Ballymore Champion 4-year-old hurdle. A lot of Punchdown has been a small bit meh for me. Brilliant performance from Galopin Deschamps, albeit I'm not sure about what he beat on the day, but he was just to keep doing it at the level he's at.
He did seem, I went back to his best is too strong, because obviously
I thought that, there was an overreaction to it, to be honest. I was looking at the horse in behind and was like,
he made the race impossible for the rest of
exactly,
and that's a compliment to his ability. Who cares if he was at his best? He didn't need to be at his best, but he put in a performance that just demolished them, and they were just never able to live with what he can do. So, you know, what he can do in the mid part of the race when he kind of jinked at the road and then Paul just go on so, and he did, and they, and that was it. And that was the end. You know, Banbridge needed maybe a middling kind of a pace. We might do him in the last couple of furlongs, but sure, it was over before the third or fourth.
Don't think there'll be a middling pace in this Champion 4-year-old hurdle. I mean, everyone is here pretty much. Blue Lemons, Hello Neighbour, even the likes of Too Bossy for Us is kind of vaguely interesting. Mercia. And obviously then Poneros and Lulamba. You're all over Lulamba here. It's actually been cutting the betting since we started the show. It's top price 2-1 with William Hill now. We'll talk to
That's Stan a brilliant Norris. Price.
You still think it's a brilliant price?
I'm going to go Poneros. If you miss Poneros at 100-1, how are you going to go in at 5-2?
Yeah.
Like, I just got,
this is a race that I'm not sure. The market could be very, very erratic here because he could be any price. But Paul Townend, who rode Blue Lemons very impressively at Fairy House, has now gotten off him. As much as that's concerned for me, he's a top price 12s with Hill. So this is what you're going to do here if you want to wager on this race and you're blindly following the two of us. You back Bugsy's selection, which is Lulamba, who was, I mean, he'd be gutted if you backed him at Cheltenham and he was beaten. I like Blue Lemons, think he's really, really, really smart. Is that fair enough?
Yeah. I was in Fairy House when he won, and I wasn't sure what to do in that race, so I was like, oh, And I just went out to the parade ring, and then that made my mind up. He's a gorgeous, and like so Blue weird. Point. He's by Blue Point, but
and stays on heavy ground.
But like, he looks a bit like a Blue Point in that he's got a lovely big shoulders, big back end, big wide girth. So there's just loads of horse there. Where, you know, a lot of these, you know, 4 year old hurdlers, they just don't have that level of physicality. Yeah. They go a bit like whippety, like in, which you just don't want. Mm. And especially the back end of a season, they can go really backwards, and that's just not what you want. And like, if you do go racing tomorrow, say at Punchestown, just look. That would be one of the things I would say look out for. Look out for horses that are a little over the top. And what I mean by that is that they just look almost too skinny or a bit rakey or a bit dull in their coat, or, you know, they just look like they've no condition left on them. And that's the real, that'd be the real warning sign I would look for, particularly in a 4 year old, you know, at the back end of the season. But yeah, I love Lulamba. What's he done wrong? He got mugged on the line when he didn't have a chance to, you know, when he didn't have a chance to react. You know, he fought all the battles and then someone just came over the top and nabbed him. There's no shame in that whatsoever.
Honestly, if like, If you bet on horses with a bit of regularity, you have to deal with a lot of like, did that actually happen? And to be done by a horse who's never run over hurdles,
never
before,
even seen in public,
at 100 to 1, like you're just like, here. And particularly if you'd done a few quids throughout the week, it's okay, I'll be grand. Lalamba can't be beaten. Sometimes you just have to say c'est la vie.
You need look, this guy, this like backing horses at Tame Lions, I don't care what anyone says, but like, you know, you've instances like that, and it really does make you question your life choices.
Yeah. On that note, that was the first half of the show. The second half of the show is exclusively for members, so stay put. If you are one of the members, thanks very much to Bugsy, and you've heard our analysis of the two guineas and the 4 year old hurdle. The second half of the show upcoming, we'll also hear from Sam Norris.